Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 172, recording this on Sunday, April 8th, 2018. We took last week off because of Easter, so we are back. Not back with everybody in place, though. We have, your host, Lou. I'm here, of course. We have Lizzie. Lizzie, how are you tonight?
I'm back.
I know. It's good to have you back.
I feel like I've been gone for a million years.
I know you had laptop problems, and then we were off for that week, and it's been like a month since we recorded with you, I think, so...
Yeah, it has been.
Glad to have you back. Glad to have your voice here. It's also sad that we don't have Tim.
We are Timless,
yes. But we have replaced him with his, I guess now his standing replacement. She replaced him on Echo Base last week, and now we have her replacing him on Random Chatter this week. We have Andrea. Andrea, how are you?
I am super excited. I think that Tim already has that sense of being... out of the island, so
yeah. We're gonna vote Tim out off the island, so he is now gone. No, we wouldn't do that to Tim without at least talking to
him
first.
Especially because he's sick.
Yeah, he can't talk. Yeah, you know what? We could have this conversation with him now. He can't talk back very well.
That's true.
So maybe the best time to talk with Tim. So
we should have him on when he really has no voice. That's great.
We would make for a short show. Yeah, he wouldn't be extending out his Patreon pitch like he usually does. So.
It'd be so short. We love you, Tim, and miss you.
We do, Tim. Hopefully, you'll be back next week on both shows. Actually, you know, it's we might have to find a replacement for him tomorrow night at Echo Base because we have to record with a new trailer dropping tonight for Solo.
That's true.
Hopefully he'll be better, but if not, we'll have to find a replacement and he'll just miss out on the whole conversation. Yeah, Andrea's all set for it. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit on this show tonight, even though we're not doing Star Wars on this show all the time. It's news, and we might as well talk about it because it's newsworthy.
Yeah, and I never get to talk about Star Wars over there.
So we'll do a little bit about that tonight. We got two things in the news about Star Wars. So before we get any further, what have we been up to watching lately? Andrea, I know you're new to this. We're going to kind of let you go last. You can kind of just get for what we're looking for here. But Lizzie, what have you been? It's been like a month since we've talked to you. What have you been watching?
I have been watching season 2 of Santa Clarita Diet, which I am obsessed with. And I just told Tim and I just recorded Movie Rampage the other night, and I was telling him that I really think he would like it. And Lou, I think that you would like it too. Yeah, I don't know
I've
if you watch it.
A lot of ads for it. What's the premise? It's a family that's serial killers?
No. Drew Barrymore becomes like an undead. She becomes a zombie, basically.
Okay.
Out of this like random happenstance one day, like she just gets the virus and she basically dies.
Okay.
And is like the undead. And then she accidentally kills somebody and then basically realizes, oh, if I kill bad guys, like it's fine. Like she's like, this is our chance that we could kill Hitler and it would be fine.
So she's an undead vigilante.
So, I mean, sort of, it's not as much about her killing people as it is about the family dynamic and like really the impact it has on the daughter and the husband. And like, it's hilarious. Like season 2 is even better than season 1. I was watching a couple episodes in the middle of season 2. I was telling Tim, I was just like crying, laughing because it's okay. Just like, so, I mean, if you don't like Drew Barrymore, you won't like the show. Cause they really play up like who she is as a person and her personality. But like, it's so funny. Okay. I don't know how to describe to you. Like Nathan Fillion's on it at one point.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It's just so weird
Of ads for it lately, and I haven't known what to make of it. It's like, I assume it's a comedy, but I'm not really sure what it's about.
It's just so funny.
She's like thinking about it right now.
And I know she can't even talk to it. I can hear it. Yeah. I might have to check that out.
I think you would really like it, Lou. It's so quirky and like so basically it's Timothy Oliphant and Drew Barrymore and they have a daughter and then their next door neighbor who's like the daughter's best friend / potential love interest knows about the secret. So it's just the four of them who know that she's the undead. And so he is like the quirky, nerdy guy that knows all the stuff about everything but is afraid of it. And so they go to him for all the zombie information. They're like, so like she bites her finger off and like, because it just is a weird thing that happens. And they go to him and he's like, I don't know, duct tape it on. And like weird stuff like that. And it's just so funny and relatable that like, if you became a zombie in real life, like this might actually be conversations you'd have.
Okay. And this is on Netflix. If you didn't,
yeah, it's on Netflix, and it just season two just premiered like a couple weeks ago in March, mid-March, I think March 22nd, 23rd. Okay. So it's just two seasons. Each season's, I think, 10 episodes. Really quick watch, but it's so funny. You just have to watch it. I don't even know how else to explain it other than that, like, it's got like darkness in it too, because there's okay. like killing people, and it's super gory, like super bloody. Which doesn't really mesh with the comedy part, like for a lot of people. And because I was talking to somebody and they were like, I couldn't make it through the first episode because there's so much blood.
Like, okay.
And like, I'm actually curious. Not something you see
in comedies very often. No, yeah. That's a twist. Right.
And like, the way she becomes a zombie in the first episode is just by like uncontrollably vomiting over and like in the house. They're realtors, so they're trying to sell a house, and she just starts vomiting all over the house. And, like, okay. It's so graphic. I don't know how to talk. It's so funny. I can't. Anyways, I've been obsessed with that. I want to go back already and watch season one and two again because I love it so much. Yeah. So I've been watching that and making and talking about it to everybody because I think it's so funny.
Okay.
And then I am getting ready for the last season of New Girl, which premieres this week. So I've been watching some of my favorite episodes of New Girl, and that's really about. I'm doing my Road to Infinity War.
That's right. You're still doing that. Yep. You're gonna be nearing the end, right? You're coming up in the final home stretch.
I'm going all the way to the week before Avengers. So actually, the week of Avengers, I believe. So, I have about five or six movies left. So, okay. I only watch two a week. So I still have 2 weeks left.
Yeah. This week, next week, and the week of the movie. Yeah. So,
yeah. So I have 3 weeks left.
Well, it's been a long road, but I envy you because I know I haven't watched a lot of movies in a long time, and I'm sure I'm not as up to date as you are on head knowledge.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
This week I watched. What did I watch? Ant-Man, Civil War, and Black Panther. Because I decided that Black Panther should go right after Civil War. I moved it up in my watch list.
Okay. And you're lucky Tim's not here to groan about Ant-Man.
Ugh, I know.
Oh, yes.
That's why we kicked him off.
There we go. Yeah.
So that's what I've been watching.
Okay. I have been watching, I did a road trip recently, so I was away from home, but I've been catching up on shows on the DC stuff, Arrow and Flash, catching up on a lot of those. I am anxiously awaiting this week, Lost in Space.
Oh, is it this week? Wow. I feel like
13th, I think it says. So Friday, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. This Friday.
Wow.
So I'm looking forward to that. And that's probably what I'm going to try to binge the whole thing. And since I have Friday off, I might just start watching it at midnight if it's released at midnight on Thursday.
There you go.
We'll see what happens. They're giving more and more away about the plot, though. I mean, the trailers are looking good. They're showing more and more details about what's out there. So I'm not going to say anything if anybody's staying spoiler free, but I am just anxiously awaiting this version of Lost in Space. Can't wait for that. Movie wise, I did see Ready Player One. I can't remember if we talked about this on the last show. I don't think we've recorded since we had this, but no, you guys both saw Ready Player One in the theaters?
Yes.
Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumb in the middle, but pointing slightly, maybe downwards and upwards at any given point in the movie.
Okay. And Andrew? So,
a vertical thumb.
Okay.
I mean, a horizontal thumb.
Yeah.
I think I can be a little bit more merciful because I've only watched the movie. I haven't seen the book. I mean, that did not make sense.
I haven't read the book. Yeah.
There were some things that were missing in the movie that regardless of whether I had read the book or not, I would still have wanted more. But it was visually stunning. I enjoyed watching it. There were just some things here and there that I was very critical about.
Well, you know, I think You're absolutely right. People that haven't read the book are going to be more forgiving of the story because they don't know what they're missing from the story.
They have no idea what they're missing.
And I think visually, it was a good movie. And I've been trying to divorce myself from the book and just kind of look at what the movie is for the movie. And I think the movie is a good movie based on itself. You know, just by itself, it's a good movie. Is it perfect? No. Does it have things missing? There's some things that you're going, what? That doesn't really make sense. I'm interested to hear what Andrea has to say about what she wanted more detail of.
I think that the biggest thing that lacked was character development. I felt like there were a lot of characters that I wanted to get a background story. I think they were thrown into the movie without a background story, and it made me not care about them as much as I should have, because I feel like in the books they would have been much more prevalent. You would have felt a lot more for these characters. And it got to the point where right now, I don't even remember the names of those characters. And it kind of sucks because they were the primary, quote unquote, clan, which I know that that's very, don't say clan. But yes, they're the characters. I wish they would have gone deeper into it. I feel like this could have been a movie that could have gone for more than just one movie. I think they could have done more than just one.
We had mentioned a little bit about that on Echo Base last week. We had a little bit of a side discussion about this. And I can't remember how much it made the show versus what we discussed afterward. But
yeah,
you had mentioned at one point that someone online had talked about doing, if they had done one movie for every key or one movie for every gate, they could have put more detail into it and give us a lot more. And I was in the same thought. I hadn't thought about the whole gate thing before. I was thinking about just two movies. Because it seems like everything is getting multiple movies these days for single books. I'm like, well, why couldn't they have done it with this? They could have spread it out, gave us more detail.
It's such a meaty book. It could have definitely benefited from that.
And, you know, we knew for a fact from the beginning they weren't going to be able to include everything. It was just way too much.
And we knew they didn't get Star Wars, so.
Right. In fact, I think I remember hearing an article or hearing an interview with Ernie Cline years ago about how he kind of wrote the book purposely with the intent that it would never be made into a movie, because he figured no one can get all these rights to different things. So I'm going to throw them all in there. So there'll never be a movie for this one.
Right.
And little did he know that it was going to be a movie, but.
But they didn't get the rights. So he was right. And why did, you know, like partly like not everything needs a movie, although it does lend itself to making a movie. But
I
sort of liked his point about he wrote it that way. You know?
But I mean, the thing I kind of take offense with in the movie is there were so many things that were left out, so many fan things that were left out, and not just that. Oh, I wanted to see this one character mentioned in the book, but you know they cut so much of the story out.
Yeah,
it felt anemic to me. There really wasn't enough there. Yeah.
It felt at some points very choppy. It felt like it almost felt linear in the way that things were happening, that it was like a roadblock and then he'd achieve it. And then there was a roadblock and then he would achieve it. It didn't feel like there was a flow to how things happened. So like you mentioned, one of the guys from Discord had mentioned that if they would have done a movie per key, it would have given us a lot of character development. We would have gotten a lot of things that probably weren't even in the movie. And again, I have to read the book to understand, but I kind of understand why they couldn't make that many references.
Yeah.
From the 80s, because being a 90s kid, I was like, I get all of these references. But again, even knowing the references, it was an overload. I just could not. I needed to stop the movie if I could to see all the references.
And,
so.
You know, and unlike some people, I mean, some people have been really hard on the film about doing all the 90s stuff and 2000 stuff that they didn't have in the book. And I'm less concerned with them putting different references in, like having a 90s character in the background or something, than I am with the fact that I really thought the story, and I think Tim feels the same way, and we'll have this discussion again next week too when Tim's back on, You know, the book was pretty good about putting a story that was believable. The milestones were hit along the way and things were kind of going in a really well-written format that it made sense, you know? So, you know, I think that's a huge thing that they left out of the book, I mean, of the movie. You know, the gates were pretty impressive to do, and in the story of how they got to the end just didn't feel as good as the book told us.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the real big strengths of the book is that you aren't pulled out of what they're having to go through individually. You really have to go through, you know, through their journey in the Oasis. And even at the very end, when they don't even see each other in that final battle, is so powerful when they finally do see each other after having gone through this together, sight unseen. The bond has been built. I feel like that is a commentary on our world that was lacking. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bond that this social media juggernaut that exists where you meet people that you may never see in real life. Mm-hmm. That is real. And there is such beautiful, like, you can connect with somebody without ever seeing their face. You really can. Uh-huh. And it could be a 50-year-old man named Chuck behind the thing for all you know. But like, there is still, it doesn't matter. There's a connection that happens. And so for them to have made that connection sight unseen and to see each other later, like, I don't know, especially between the two, you know, like that to me, I was like, okay, first of all, like, I got really mad right when they saw each other. I was like, nope, you have just ruined it for me.
Right. Like, I had a real hard time with all the stuff in the real world that was done.
Yeah, I agree.
And they did it well, but it was just, it didn't stay true to the book in terms of the, and I'm not just saying it has to be perfectly done to the book, but it was, you know, how you want to say it, but the story the book was trying to get across was like Lizzie said, all about these people developing a relationship online that never had a real world meeting until the very end. And if it wasn't for this prize, they would have never met in the real world.
Right. And that is the beauty of Halliday being reclusive, not being able to connect in real life, but finding this way to bring these people together online that he couldn't even make happen for himself in real life with the love of his life. And it's this amazing symmetry that they fell in love based on this whole thing, not even ever seeing each other. And then all of a sudden, she's a part of the resistance and lives 10 blocks away. And so does Ake. And so does everybody. I was like, this, are you kidding me? Like, they all live in Ohio now. Like,
Yeah. That was a bit much. I'm not going to say anything about, there's so many things I want to talk about, but Andrea hasn't read the book and she wants to read the book. And I want to let her find those things out for herself. But there's so many things. And I'm like, this and this and this, that, you know, they should have been put in the story that would have made the story a stronger story.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this on Echo Base too. The one thing that really got me was that I didn't get the feeling that the Oasis was anything more than a video game in the movie.
Yeah.
In the book, it was way more than a video game.
Well, yeah, because he didn't even attend school in it. And that was like one of the main points, is that everybody has to attend school in the Oasis if you want like an actual education. Yep. And and how he has to like transfer and all of those things.
Yeah, and they talk about how businesses transacted on the Oasis and things that, you know, people do things and live their whole lives in the Oasis, not just playing a game. But
the other thing I actually appreciated was that I figured that they had to update the challenges. And at first, when I first saw that it was a race, I was like, oh, hell no. I was pissed. I was like, stupid race? But then when it still became a clue and it had King Kong and like all that, I actually really liked the way they twisted that and did make it a clue after all. Cause I was so mad when they like went to get in the cars and like,
me too,
just like have a race. I was like, what is this?
First one?
Yeah.
I need to read this book.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Before, I was so mad.
Yep. Well, you know, but before I saw the movie, somebody had taken apart the trailer and went frame by frame through it. And they're like, what's that? Yeah. I refuse to read those. I was looking for anything I could in this week because I wanted to get details. But they said, it looks like this is how they're getting the copper key. And I'm like, what? That's not how the copper key. No, no. And it was like, you know, they had the big sign on the side of the start line for the raceway saying copper key race. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, that's like, not the way it's supposed to be. But you know, you're right. It worked out really, really well in the movie. And I think when I was like 20 minutes into the movie, I'm like, okay, they did this one really, really well. If they do the rest of the movie like this, I'm on board. I'm happy. But as the movie went along, I'm like, no, that's not really working right for me. And, you know.
If Ernie and team and co had just rewritten the challenge, updated the challenges for, and not be as niche as the book is, like War Games and stuff like that. Although I think it would have been amazing, or Breakfast Club, you know.
Well, you know, like Andrea said, Andrea, I think you said it was Fredders from our Discord community, right?
Yes.
Mentioned about the three keys and three gates being three movies. You know, they took the entire gate structure out of the out of the movie itself, which hurt the movie a lot, I think, because and Andrea, you'll get this when you read the books, but it was. The original Anorak's invitation was, you know, three hidden keys to three hidden gates will help you, you know, I can't remember the rest of this thing exactly, but
you
had to find the key. That was the clue that they gave you, and you'd find the key. That was the first challenge. And then once you found the key, on the key to be a clue to go to a gate to clear the gate. Mm-hmm. So once you cleared the gate, you'd get a key, you get a clue for the next key.
So it was multiple layers for each challenge. Right. Which was completely erased.
See, that's the thing. I feel like if I would have read the book, I would have been so pissed because of what you guys are telling me. And I haven't even read the book right now. And I'm like, I'm missing something.
No, it's good. It's probably good that you didn't, so that you can come to the book with, like, I don't know, with a layered... I don't know. It's different. It is different. I'm sort of mad that I read it so close to watching the movie for book club, because I think that that made me less forgiving, because it's so hard to read it right before.
I saw with a friend of mine who hadn't read the book in a year or two, and he had said the same thing. He said, well, that was your problem. You just read the book again. I'm like, well, I read it every year.
Well, you read it every year. You should have read it afterwards.
And I wanted to be up to date for the movie. And he's like, you know, I haven't read the book in 2 years. And he goes, I thought it was really good. Now, I haven't taught. He says he's going to read the book again now, just to get a, you know, comparison again. I'll have to wait till he does that to get an idea what he thought. But
because as I was watching it, I thought if this wasn't so fresh in my mind, I might be able to forget some minute details and allow the challenges to just be what they are. But having read it like a week before I went to see it, it was so, like, I accidentally did that with Harry Potter once, and it's a mistake because, like,
it's never gonna
live up, and I can't separate them. And that's just me. That's just for me. Other people might be able to, but I know I can't read a book before.
I read it every year, so I can't separate the book from the movie.
Yeah.
I'm really anxious to hear what Andrea says when she reads the book.
We're going to have to record another episode.
Right. Now, one thing we have to do, Lizzie and I have talked about doing this for part of book club. I don't know if it's going to be on this feed or on the Getting Sidetracked feed, but we need to do our wrap up of the book discussion.
We do need to do that. Yeah. We got to figure it out.
And I think we're going to include some movie stuff with that. I know you and Tim will probably do a movie rampage about this. And
we actually aren't going to. We're skipping straight to Infinity War. We were going to, but we're never going to make it. Well,
maybe we should have them on to the book club discussion, and we'll do a little bit of a mini movie thing about that with this too. So
yeah, we could do that.
Okay, cool.
I definitely want to focus on the book though in book club.
I do too. There's so many things.
The movie needs to be sidetracked.
Well,
it's got to be about the book.
Yep.
Because I want to go deep about the book.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, so now. Andrew, we gave you a lot of time to think about what you've been watching. Well, what have you been doing lately?
A lot of time.
So, yes, I did watch Ready Player One. That was one of the only movies that I watched in theaters. I've been catching up on Jessica Jones season 2. I just recently finished season 1 because I hadn't caught, I wasn't caught up in it. So that's very exciting. I'm still trying to finish Spartacus, and that's another show on Netflix. I really love it. It has really big actors and actresses that I've seen in Battlestar Galactica, The Expanse, The Mummy. So I was really excited to actually find this TV show. Cool. And then I just found out that season 3 of The Last Kingdom is coming out. And that's based on Bernard Cornwell's books, the Saxon stories. And I love those books and I do highly recommend them. So I'm really looking forward to season three. So I'm just watching season one and two again.
Cool.
Yeah.
You've been keeping busy.
Yes, very busy.
All the things.
Okay, well, now that we're 25 minutes into the show, let's talk about the box office updates for next for this week. Normally, we get this pretty quick and get it out of the way, but we got sidetracked.
Ready Player One took a lot of energy.
It did. We're so passionate about that. Week at the box office, the estimated numbers for this week, we're recording this Sunday, so we don't have the final numbers yet. But A Quiet Place took the first place spot in its first week with $50 million. That is a movie that I really want to see. I've been seeing a lot of buzz about it. Everybody says it's great.
Yeah, so, it looks scary, but it looks interesting scary. So I actually was interested in it.
I'm afraid there's going to be too many jump scares, though, because some of the trailers look like there's something grabs them and this and that. But
the whole trailer is jump scares.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the concept, though, sounds pretty amazing. I'm so excited for it, though. Yeah, I am, too.
Yeah, it looks pretty intense, so.
Ready Player One took the second spot this weekend with $25 million, bringing its total to $96.9 for 2 weeks. Blockers took the third spot in its first week of $21 million. Black Panther still hanging in there, number four with $8.4 million. It's total
for domestic. Some of my money went to that this week.
Did it? Saw it again?
Yep. Fourth time.
Fourth time. Wow, nice. Its total is now $665. Globally, it's at $1.3 billion, or just under maybe, but $1.3 billion. It's number three on the all-time domestic box office list and number 10 on the all-time global list.
It just kicked Titanic off.
Yep. And it's going to probably pick up a couple more in the global. I don't think it's going to get the number two in domestic, though. So
You don't know.
Oh, I don't think it can do that, Lizzie. I know you're really passionate about Black Panther, but
I think it's gonna get a surge before Infinity War because they're keeping it in theaters. So
yeah, it might. It'd be interesting to see what it's gonna end up as. Because if I look at the all time list right now for domestic, it's at 665. Avatar is at 760. I don't think it's gonna make another 100 million.
We'll see.
Wow, she's really
because the theater I went to was really, really full, and it was like, yeah, and it was a Thursday night at 8:50, a Thursday night, and it was pretty full, and I was like, what?
Yeah, I mean, it made $8 million this week. It's still making a good amount every week, so that's not bad, I suppose.
I just think it still has 3 weeks before Infinity War to get a surge, and people are going to want to see it before they go see Infinity War.
I mean, in the global list, it's not far behind The Last Jedi. It's not far behind Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2. It's about 100 million behind Age of Ultron, worldwide.
It should be Age of Ultron.
We'll see where it ends up.
I mean, 100 million is a lot, and I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying I think it's got the chops to do it, and it's got 3 weeks before Infinity War hits to make it happen.
Yeah, so if we look at it weekly, and this is just domestic, not international, but weekly it's at, this past week it was only 17.5 million, week before it was 25.1 million. So it's not dropping dramatically, it's only dropping about 30% a week.
Math, gross.
I know.
I know.
I don't math. Don't make me math.
I'm glad it's still doing well. We shall see. Rounding out the top five here was I Can Only Imagine with 8.3 in its fourth week. So that is your top five. Next week we have Beirut. That's a movie with John Hamm. That looks interesting. Truth or Dare and Overboard. That's the reboot of Overboard coming out next week. Rest of the month, we can be looking forward to Rampage, Super Troopers 2, Traffic, and, of course, Infinity War coming at the end of the month.
Woo-hoo! Everybody has their tickets, right?
I have mine.
Yeah, I have not bought mine because I will be in California, and I have to figure out what my schedule is out there and where I'm going.
What theater you're going to be near. Yeah, definitely. You don't want to buy the wrong ticket.
Exactly. So I will this week. That's my goal this week.
So we have our winter movie draft. It's kind of finished as far as movies coming out, but things are still adding up a little bit as we go along. So these are not final numbers by any stretch of the imagination, but we do have some results here. We have first place is our guest host tonight, Andrea.
Yay!
Andrea, you're leading the winter movie draft with $487 million. Lizzie's at number two with 416. I'm at number three in a distant third place at 307. Carrie's behind me at 250. And we have Tim and Shannon both in the 160s. So
as long as I beat Tim, my goal is done.
You did that. He's no chance of coming back.
That is always my goal, guys.
I was hoping for a little bit more out of Ready Player One. I was hoping it was going to just bring me up a little bit more, but...
Nope.
I don't think it's going to do any more for me, sadly.
Not at all.
But I was glad to see Lizzie didn't win by bidding 89 credits.
It was close. Thank you very much.
It was close. Andrea got a good burst at the end there. You had a couple movies right at the end, I think, didn't you? Andrea, you had...
Stabbed Everybody at the end.
Pacific Uprising was one that put you over the top at the end there. Yeah, $54 million.
Yeah. Good deal.
And that was even when she's missing a movie, too. Alpha didn't come out.
Oh, yeah.
So you were short a movie.
Always in a disadvantage.
Tim was short three movies. That's what he'll cry was his downfall. But, you know.
It's okay if he
can't
cries.
Always use that as an excuse, by the way.
No. You know why he can't use it as an excuse? Nut Job 2. That's the only reason why. Even though it wasn't in this draft, Nut Job 2 will be forever the answer of why Tim... won't do well.
Also, he just picks crappy movies. What does he want from himself? Make better choices, Tim.
Oh, boy.
Is he doing better on FML?
Yeah, he's winning again this week, I think.
At least he's got that going for
him. Yeah, I won last week. That was my first win of a week. I had a week where my picks didn't get taken, so I'm way down in the 13-week, I think, or 10-week challenge we're in the middle of. But it's been a lot of fun. I'm probably in mid-pack this week, I think it was. But if anybody wants to find more information about both the Fantasy Movie League or the Random Chatter Movie Draft, you can check out the Random Chatter Movie Draft by going to randomchatter.com/moviedraft. That'll give you all the updates of everything we're doing in the most current draft, which is our spring draft. And the Fantasy Movie League, if you're interested in joining that, head over to randomchatter.com/FMLinvite. Fantasy Movie League is a weekly fantasy... challenge. It's free to play. Sign up for an account, go to the invite link I just gave you there, and be part of our crew and make that a little bit more intense. The more we get in there, the more fun it is. Lizzie, you haven't joined yet, have you?
I haven't. I can barely keep up with everything else I've going on.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I'm trying head above water over here.
You know what's sad? When I looked at FML, I was like, oh, my life. Everybody's going to share their bad stories.
Wow. Okay. So we got to edit that out. Okay. So we're going to see. That was at 33:21.
And
it's
getting
sleep.
I was like, oh, I'm just waiting for somebody to say their embarrassing story. I guess not. I was so far off the whole entire thing.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
Every time they say it, I'm like, who came up with this? I get it.
I know. Every time I read it, I think of that same thing. But yeah. So I'll have to let Eric know.
Andrea went for it.
So we don't, you know, she really is Tim's replacement because we always have to tell Eric to watch out for the, you know, whatever swear word Tim said at, you know, whatever time frame in the draft or in the
language.
Recording.
See?
Andrea, this is a family show.
Definitely be his replacement.
This is a family show.
That's okay, so let's get into the little bit of news. We don't have a lot of news, so that's why we kind of stretched out the opening. But we have a few things to talk about here. So first up, and I know this is not our Star Wars show, but Lizzie doesn't get to talk Star Wars very much with us, and Andrea likes talking Star Wars.
You know I died to do it. Come on.
Yeah, so we're going to do a few things about Solo this week. The first story that we have here is Solo is being presented at the Cannes Film Festival.
Gross.
Which is before
I can't
the
stand
May 25th
it.
Release. So... No, Lizzie, you're saying you don't want it released early.
No.
You don't want to know that, you know, what if you were an attendee at the film festival?
Chances are slim. So Also, no, it's Star Wars. It's not an indie film. Get out of here. I don't like it. It doesn't belong at Cannes Film Festival.
Well, I guess it's being presented. It's not part of the competition.
I don't care.
Okay.
Why is it being shown there?
I know. I mean, I kind of think it's weird they're doing this.
It makes no sense.
With everything they do about trying to keep spoilers out of everybody's hands, why would they show it up to a week early?
I mean, with this whole Infinity War move up date situation to make international domestic release all one so spoilers wouldn't come out, this move makes no sense from Disney and company. It makes no sense.
Well, maybe see, this is the first movie that I've been constantly saying, I don't care about spoilers. I want to know everything. I'm going to search things out. If I come across something, I don't care. So for me, it's like, you know, hey, if something comes out, I'll hear it early.
I feel the same way.
I just looking at this trailer and just like, I don't know. I'm just.
Well, you know, that's the other part we were talking about tonight, too, was the trailers being released tonight as we speak. It was released during American Idol, I guess, tonight. And it's online, right? So we all watched it.
Yeah.
And it's about, what is it, 2 minutes and 2.5 minutes,
207, I think? 207,
yeah.
Something
yeah,
like
so
that.
It's just over 2 minutes. And it's a true trailer. It does give you some sense of place for the movie. You kind of see things that are happening. It's giving more of the story away like a trailer will do. If I was the kind of guy who was upset about spoilers for this movie, I think this trailer would upset me.
Right.
You know, they gave a lot of things in this trailer, and I think they had to because people just are so, up in the air about the movie. Like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'll watch it, but I don't really care about it. And yeah, it gives a lot away. It kind of sets the whole story up for you. Go ahead.
Well, that doesn't bother me because that's what trailers do. And so I don't care about that. And
this seemed a little more though. I mean, didn't it give a lot away in this trailer?
No, I didn't feel like it gave more than others do.
Okay. Maybe you feel like it gave so much away because we already know how it's going to end. We already know what happens.
Yeah.
Later yeah. on. So it's kind of like, oh, well, I know where this is headed. I know where this is going. I can definitely see that Chewie's not going to die here. And yeah. then we're going to continue. It's kind of like we already know.
It's hard to do a prequel movie without,
yes.
without that kind of thing yeah. hanging out there. I mean, we know, you know, in the beginning of the movie, it looks like the Falcon belongs to Lando, so we know we're going to get that scene where he, you know, ownership transfer happens.
Yeah.
You know, and we know that because that who has the ship in Star Wars. You know, I mean, it's Han Solo. They gave away a few things I don't think they should have. The whole, you know, I got a bad feeling about this line came up in sorts in the trailer. So they gave that away.
But we knew that would be in there. That's not like, I don't know. That's Star Warsy and it's going to happen. I don't think that's like, okay. Oh, that's in the movie.
Well, the way he did it, he didn't say I got a bad feeling. He said, I have a good feeling about this.
But yeah, but I mean, I don't know. That doesn't bother me. I don't want to see a Han Solo love story that does not involve Princess Leia. And I'm pissed off that Emilia Clarke is like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see him having a connection with some other brown haired girl, British girl. I'm over it. I don't care about it at all.
Wow. I thought I was going to be the only person that would feel that way. I don't want a romance in this movie.
I'm so mad that the romance is with Han Solo and then there's not like a Lando romance. I would be so on board for a Lando romance that it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's not called Lando. It's called Solo.
I don't care. But he doesn't need to have a romance just because it's his movie. Why do we have to have romance in everything?
Yeah, but he's
mad about it. He's the suave kind of guy
who's got to be there. He's the one.
I don't like it.
He's the man. He's got to put the moves on. That's him.
Gross. It's gross. I can't stand it. I'm so mad about it. And you know how much I love Star Wars. It pains me to say this, but I cannot stand it. It makes me so mad.
Oh, boy.
Also, is there one pink-haired woman in Star Wars and then all of the rest of them are petite brown-haired women? Like, that's all that lives in Star Wars? All of them.
Maybe.
Yeah, the answer is yes, because every lead in Star Wars is a petite brown-haired girl.
True. It is true.
And Amelia Clark is not even known for being brown-haired, even though that is her hair color in real life. That's not even what we know her as.
That's true.
It's weird.
Tell us how you really feel, Liz. Tell us.
I don't like it.
Oh,
I don't
boy.
Like it. Okay, I do like that Mala was in there. That makes me very happy.
Yeah, he had that quick little scene of Chewie hugging another
Wookiee.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that they're adding some humor into this. The humor felt right in the trailer.
Yeah, I get it.
You know,
I get
the
it.
Whole part about, you know, when'd you learn how to fly? And he's like,
yes.
He's like 190 yeah. years old. God, you look pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, that was very funny.
That worked out well. I mean, the trailer did give me more hope for the movie. I'll say that.
Oh.
The trailer looked like it was.
I still want to see it, but I am holding on to my heart just in case.
Same. I mean, I feel the same as Andrea.
I don't think I'm going to come out of this movie and put this in my top three Star Wars movies. No.
No, I don't think so.
But the trailer made me feel better about, I think it's going to be a decent movie.
Yeah, I am having a real trouble with the guy who's playing Han. Like, I really, like, I don't like him as Han.
Yeah.
Is that because of him or because you just don't want to have somebody else playing Han?
No, I feel like I would really be okay with seeing someone else in the role. I there's something about him that doesn't feel like Han. And maybe you're right. Maybe at some level everybody would suffer from that. But I don't know. I just don't feel like, I don't know. There's a way he delivers the line when they're in the, with the tentacle monster in the sky and he's like, everything's okay. Everything's fine now. And the way he says it is like supposed to be Han Solo-esque. And I'm like, ah!
Yeah, it doesn't quite fit. I mean, you know, and the funny thing is, we had interviewed Anthony M. Gruber a couple years ago. And he is the kid that was doing impressions of Han Solo on YouTube. And he is spot on for doing the impressions. Have you ever seen him or Googled him? It's pretty incredible. And we were kind of hoping he is an actor and has done some stuff. And he played a young Harrison Ford in, what was the movie? Of course, I'm going to draw a blank on this. Fascinating Radio, folks. We're doing this live as you hear.
Is it the Age of Adeline guy?
Yes, that's the one. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. He is one that I saw him. I saw like a interview with him because it was right when Age of Adeline was coming out or when some.
Did you hear our interview on the show?
No, I didn't hear the interview on the show, but it was an interview with like Ellen or I don't know, whoever. And I was like,
something like Ellen, come on, we did the interview. Yeah.
I'm sorry. You did. I've got to.
It was Chris, myself, and somebody who's not with the network anymore. I can't remember his name.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, that guy. No, it was a different one. I'll have to go back and listen to that. But like, he was great.
He was. He did a great job in that movie. He did a really good job playing a young Harrison Ford. It was a very good portrayal, and we thought you would be spot on to play a young Han Solo in any Star Wars thing. And, you know, and I think he tried out for it. I'm sure he auditioned for this role, but you know, didn't go with it. But
I mean, I get it. Studios have to do what studios have to do, but like, it's such big shoes to fill, and it's so pivotal to the movie, I mean, to it flying. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I just think that is like the linchpin. You could, whatever, romance, even though I don't like it, like whatever, plenty of other things. But like, if you don't nail that Han Solo, that Harrison Ford essence, like then, I mean, what is your movie?
Right. I mean,
like, go ahead.
Especially for a movie about Han Solo.
Yeah.
If it was just a movie that took place and he was in the movie as a young man, sure, you can put somebody else in there and it wouldn't be a big of a deal. But having the movie about the young Han Solo, it's pretty critical. And I can forgive a lot of things in casting because I understand the actor is older. You can't have him play a younger version of himself, you know, younger than he was when he did the role 30 years ago, or 40 years ago. Right. So you can't do that. And I understand they'll give some a little bit of leeway on that. But when you have somebody like an Anthony Gruber who did a spot on imitation of the man, why wouldn't you have used him? You know,
it's also tough because we have seen, it's like, if you have an actor now that we have really known as an older actor and a younger actor plays him, but we never really saw him as a younger actor, the imagination can fill in those gaps. It cannot do that with Harrison Ford because he's been on screen since he was that age. So our imaginations cannot do it. We already know him in that age range.
Right.
So it's, if you don't nail it, like, go ahead, Andrea.
It's okay. The thing that I was going to say is that it almost feels like it's kind of like a parody.
It does.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. It feels like there's these characters that are wearing the same outfits that I remember, but they're not the real characters. So that's why I feel like, It doesn't go well. And I completely agree with Liz. I feel like it's not going to be the same not seeing the characters. And I think that that's where my brain is going to have a total meltdown because it's not going to know how to process. This is the Han Solo. This is the different characters because I've already seen them in a different face, in a different light. So I just sit tight because I don't know what's going to happen.
Yep.
I mean, I love Star Wars and I want to see more Star Wars and I'm not against it. And I'm not even against like taking a new direction, but I guess my main, did you both freeze? Oh, you both were so still.
We were listening to you.
I was like, wow. Anyways, my whole thing with a whole new like Star Wars thing is it just feels like they gave all of the fanboys permission to write their own dreams of what Star Wars can be, which is lovely, but doesn't feel genuinely like Star Wars to me. That doesn't mean that there aren't great things about it. That's my problem with Last Jedi. There's a little bit of Rogue One that feels that way to me, although that one hits it a lot better than some of the others. But that is my main, that's just what Solo feels like. It feels like they gave someone else the costume and the writing pen. And so cool. It's fan fiction expanded universe, but it doesn't feel like genuine Star Wars to me. It doesn't mean that there aren't good things about it or that it's not a good movie. I think genuinely The Last Jedi is a great movie. It's very captivating. It just doesn't give me that feeling of Star Wars. And that's, for me, that's just, it doesn't mean I hate it. It just means that's tough for my brain to process because I've had Star Wars in my life since I was two.
Right.
So that's just what it is. Doesn't mean that I hate it. I don't attack people who love it. I love to hear that people love it and why. That's how Solo feels. And I'm like, there's another one.
I'm still excited to watch it. I'm going to watch it.
Same and same.
I am going to go in there with no high expectations. I'm just going to see where the ride takes me.
That sounds like a good way to go into it. Let's see here. Next up we have, we talked about Lost in Space a little while ago, and I am super excited about this coming out, as I said, but the opening sequence was just released online, too, as you can see the opening credits for the show. I know it doesn't seem like a big thing, but to me it made me feel kind of warm and fuzzy. I was like, ooh, this is cool.
Like seeing things before I'm going to see them. I don't like that. I know you like it. I hate it.
Well, I don't normally like it, but in this case, I'm like, this is just the opening. I want to see the credits. It's like, ooh, the new, you know, it's like the new theme song or something. You know, it's like, okay, I like that. This is just being a little taste of what I'm going to get.
Did
either one of you guys watch the original Lost in Space?
No.
Nope. I watched the Matt LeBlanc movie.
Oh my God. Oh no, no, no. That was not Lost in Space.
I know it wasn't. I'm not saying it was.
I don't care what they said the title of the movie was. It was not Lost in Space.
No. I know that that is not a great representation of the original. I'm just letting you know what my journey in Space is.
And I am sure if I went back and rewatched Lost in Space now, I'd probably be cringing. Yeah. It's like, ugh. I mean, I said this a while ago. I tried doing it with $6 Million Man. I went back and watched some of the episodes. I'm like, who filmed this? 6-year-olds with a camcorder? I'm like, oh my God, it's horrible. But
my dad was a big Lost in Space fan. So I feel like I probably watched a couple episodes, but I wasn't a big fan as a kid or anything, but I did love Matt LeBlanc. So I did watch that movie.
Is this a 1998 one or no?
That's the Matt LeBlanc movie.
Oh. Yeah, that's a movie. Yeah, no, Netflix is doing a new remake of the series, starting
dark and gritty version with an angry robot.
Which one, the Matt LeBlanc one?
No, Netflix one looks like serious. I don't know how I feel about that.
It does look pretty serious. I mean, they're crashing on the first episode, I guess, and. We'll see.
That's
where
it sort goes. Of not the point of the original.
Well, kind of. I mean, they were thrown off course and lost in space, you know.
No, I meant the dark and gritty part.
Oh, yeah. Well, everything's dark
and gritty.
It's super
not dark and gritty.
It's the next century here, where dark and gritty everything we do.
You know, that's my least favorite thing.
I know. But I like the dark and gritty stuff usually. But anyways.
I know you do.
Yeah, speaking of reboots, another one that you guys haven't seen probably either.
We're so excited about this one, Lou.
Are you? You really excited about the last Starfighter reboot?
No, we don't know anything about it. Go ahead.
You know, I can't work under these conditions. Where's Tim?
These younglings.
Where's Tim when you need him?
What do they know?
Well, see, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far, no.
We like that one.
The last Starfighter was a... movie. I'm trying to think of when it was. I'm cheating on the internet.
So he doesn't even know.
Not cheating anymore. That's real life.
1984. So goes way back. But
is Matt LeBlanc in it?
No, Matt LeBlanc's not in it. Oh my goodness. This was the concept of this movie was the vast Star Empire needed new pilots for their starships, and they would put video games around the galaxy with different things to see who had the skills to become a starfighter pilot. And this kid in this, trailer park, beat up town, had the high score in this game. And the guy comes and says, "Hey, we're taking you." And he goes off world to become a starfighter pilot. Every little boy's dream, right? You know, it's like, oh yeah, I'll watch this. So there is a new
remake.
Was it
a movie?
It was a movie. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm watching the trailer right now, and all I see is like a planet in a string, just like moving around. The visual effects are so on point.
I'm sure it doesn't hold up well today.
It's so cute.
I mean, come on, it's going to be some amazing cinematic piece of film from back in the day. But it was fun. It was a fun movie.
Who was in it?
Nobody. Anyone? We know.
Zero people famous.
Let's see.
Well, we know Matt LeBlanc wasn't in it. That's something we do know.
Lance Guest was the main character, Alex Rogan. Nobody else really.
Zero people.
Robert Preston, he was in the movie. Yeah, nobody else really.
Cool.
But it was good.
Big shoes
fun.
To fill. No shoes to fill. That'll be easy.
Oh, come on. It was a fun movie. But now...
It's not going to have the stronghold as far as this is a kind of movie that's primed for a reboot.
Well, exactly, because it's so old. It's 84.
Right.
And with not
a lot of, star power behind it, so you're not touching on the hot, Harrison Ford, big shoes to fill thing.
Exactly.
You know, going to be a problem that it's going to face, which is great. I love seeing a movie like that get, a rebirth and new life. It deserves to have that.
Yep. And the nice thing about it is you've got Gary Whitta, who's penning the script. You know, he's done, Rogue One, Book of Eli. You know, he's got some writing credits behind him. So,
That's great.
And he's working with one of the co-writers from the original Last Starfighter.
That's even better.
So I think this could be a good thing. I mean, update this movie for modern stuff, get some good CGI effects in there, and make it a fun story.
And hire Matt LeBlanc.
No.
No.
If what they've said, they've kind of made this to be a combination reboot and sequel all in one movie.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Which I think could work out well, so...
Although I hope it's not like, what's the name of it? The Stephen King one that came out where they
Dark
did the
Tower.
Yeah, Dark Tower, where it was a sequel to the book series, but it didn't make any sense for fans or new people.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I am speaking of that, I am finishing up the second to last book right now in the 7 or 8 book series, whatever it is, for the Dark Tower, because I want to get them all out of the way before I watch the movie.
Oh, well.
And I'm sure I'll be disappointed anyways, but.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be happy. Even watching, reading the books.
I can't be any unhappier than I was with Ready Player One. So let's just drop that there.
I think you could. I think you could, Lou.
I'm not as attached to the Gunslinger or to the Dark Tower as I. Yeah,
but you found nice things to say about Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Well, you could easily find not nice things to say about the Dark Tower.
I like Matthew McConaughey, though.
Oh, okay. Well, and Idris Elba, boyfriend.
Yeah.
Serious boyfriend.
Okay.
Keep going.
Let's see.
I'm getting off track.
The last thing I have in the news items for discussion here is there was a, not really a trailer, not really a, well, maybe a public service announcement. Deadpool had released something about a word that I can't say. Andrea uses pretty frequently,
Andrew
obviously.
Said it.
But I'm not going to. No,
say
no,
it.
You can't
no,
say
no,
it.
No, you can't.
Basically, he's got this video for F cancer. And he's wearing the pink, the pink Deadpool suit. And I guess the thing is, if you help them out and donate money to this, you could win the actual pink suit, which I think is pretty cool.
That's I love really the cool. sign that he has in the picture. This could be yours, the suit, not me. Well, maybe me too.
Yeah.
Yes.
It makes me think of the Good Housekeeping ad and like all the other, like what we've talked about before is how Deadpool is so on point with their marketing and publicity mm-hmm. strategies that just keeps it in your mindset, even though the movie still got, you know, however right. long before right. its debut, you know.
The marketing is almost into our fabric of today's society, not just about the movie. It's just,
it is.
He's there and it's like, oh yeah, he's got a movie coming out too. So they're doing this fundraising thing. It's 20th Century Fox in conjunction with the Deadpool movie doing the fundraising through Omaze, which if you remember is the same site they used for doing the stuff for J.J. Abrams fundraisers back for... I'm drawing a blank. The Force Awakens.
Force Awakens. Well, there's a lot of they use a lot on there. Emily Blunt and John Krasinski had one in conjunction with The Quiet Place being
Did
released.
They? Okay.
Yeah, there was one with Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard. There've been a lot of them. There was a there's a Robert Downey Jr. one I think to come to Infinity War premiere. There's a whole bunch of on Omaze. There's a lot of really cool. If you go on there, there's just a lot of opportunities to like. For great causes, you yeah. know, to donate money to great causes, but also be entered to win really cool prizes. So
exactly. People have got behind this and done some really good things. And you're much better spending your time on something like Omaze than you are on like starting a petition to, you know, change a movie or something. So
dear God, can that be the what were they thinking?
That should be. Yeah.
Do it.
Oh, boy. I can't find that article now.
Well, you can just say it.
Okay. So what were they thinking for this week? We don't really have one, but Lizzie's right. This really should be it.
It is one.
And Andrew, you said you read this as well, too, right?
Pardon?
I said you had read this as well, too, right, about the petition to cast a new actress as
Oh, yes. Oh,
Princess
my
Leia in episode 9. It's just
Go ahead, Andrea.
My poor heart. I don't even want to say it. I said it at work. I have one of the guys at work who loves Star Wars, and he shut me up because I was about to say a blasphemy. So you know what? I don't even want to say it. So Liz, you take it away.
Well, like, I didn't read the article, but they were telling me that apparently someone's petitioning to have Meryl Streep play Princess Leia in episode 9, which are you joking?
And, you know, nothing against Meryl Streep. Nothing against Meryl Streep.
But not at all.
What do you do with that?
But why would you want to, you know, Lizzie, you're absolutely right. You know, petitions to change things in movies and do things because that's what you want them done. No. That's not what these petitions are for. You know,
like. But I just like petitions are so much more than that and have such an actual goal that for like you, number one, you don't work in film or with a studio or know anything about how that process actually goes down. So for you to think that your petition is going to be the thing that intones how a movie is cast is ridiculous and a waste of internet space.
Yeah, it's a waste of time.
Don't you waste internet space with your dumb petition.
Let's have a petition that Tim does not continue in random chatter. I'm just kidding.
Wow. Andrea, I'm not even gonna tell him.
There's a petition for everything. There's probably one that says kick Andrea out of RCN because she's so mean to Tim. So you know what?
I did see that petition actually.
I think Lou signed that petition.
I did not sign that petition. And I would not sign one to get Tim kicked off either.
It is an actual. What?
And I would not sign one to get Tim kicked off either.
No, me neither. But it is something that needs to be reiterated that these petitions are ridiculous. And a way, like, I is it just people being like, oh, I wish this would happen? Or do they genuinely think that their petition is going to go to the studio president and they're going to be like, oh, so 20,000 people signed this petition. Let's make that happen. That's ridiculous.
I don't get it. Like when they wanted to make The Last Jedi not part of canon anymore. It's like, that's not what these are going to happen.
Or even Cut petition is ridiculous.
Even like, the what?
The Snyder Cut petition.
Yeah.
Like, come the F on. Come
I just feel
the
like
Andrea word on.
I just feel like at this point, it's just somebody wanting 5 seconds of fame because they did something that is quote unquote edgy and nobody had thought about. And I don't touch that. No, I don't. If it were true, I wouldn't want it. It's not true. Hopefully never happens, but I just find it. It's just a waste of time, a waste of air, a waste of space. It's not needed.
Like if you want to be a part of casting movies, go out and get yourself a job in the field.
Hey, how does that not get bleeped out?
That one we can say.
It's going to get bleeped out. I got to make a note for that for Tim.
Lou, now you have to say a bad word.
No, I'm the only one Eric's going to like after this episode's over.
I'm sorry, that one deserved to be said.
That's true. Now, nowhere online can I find what this petition actually is. So I'm trying to see.
It's fake.
No, it's on a lot of different sites. So, okay.
I mean, change.org,
it's care too.
No, that's not a real thing. Cool.
Yeah, thepetitionsite.com. Yeah, I can sign the petition. 12,000 people have already supported this.
Good luck.
If for some reason the goal is only 13,000, so I don't know why is a goal is at 13,000. Does it happen? Is that what the deal is?
What does that even mean?
I don't know. It doesn't make a difference to me.
This is because words don't matter anymore. Cool. Like it's so weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is part of the problem. This is part of the dark side of the internet. It's just like people thinking that their voice means that they get to have whatever they want. You don't have zero care for how things are actually done or that, I don't know. That's whatever.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep would probably be like, no, because I'm new Carrie Fisher and I wouldn't want to do that.
That'd be awesome if she did.
I bet she would. I bet she'd be like,
come out and denounce this.
No, because that would give it too much. That would give it actual like agency, and it doesn't deserve to have any. It deserves to be stupid idiots with a dumb, I don't know, thinking that their voice matters when it super doesn't.
Yeah.
Everyone's voice matters, whatever, but like, not theirs. I got really mad about that one. I'm reeling it back. It's fine.
That's okay. You have to be vocal really about that kind of thing sometimes. That. It's okay to be vocal about that.
I know. I don't want to be too negative. I'm called them idiots and bad words.
Oh, well. Okay. So Eric says work it out for him for editing this episode. A few things he's got to take care of there. So, yeah.
We better lock it down before we say any other bad words.
We're gonna close it out right now and just get out of here. We're gonna get the hell out of here. Oh, sorry. We're gonna get out of here.
Oh, he did it!
I did say nice bad word,
yeah. So, do you guys have anything else you want to add? Did I miss anything? There was a big news article this week that you said, Lou, why didn't you do this?
No.
No.
Okay.
Other than, we did talk about the Infinity War, the extra teaser that was released this week. That was awesome with extra Okoye scenes. There's a Bucky Cap reunion scene. Very excited about that.
Yep. Keeps that movie.
I'm so excited to see who's going to die.
On the forefront.
No! Nobody. Nobody. Everybody lives.
Yeah, why would anybody die in something called the Infinity War? Nobody dies in wars. No, we're good.
No, everyone's going to end up eating shawarma together at the end with Thanos, and it's going to be perfectly fine. Okay, shut up.
No, you're going to see Thor's hammer in one chair, Captain America's helmet in the other. No, sorry. Iron Man's helmet in the other, and then Captain America's broken shield in another, and then the few survivors
are
just going to be eating shawarma.
Andrea is savage.
Wow, Andrea is never coming back to this episode. Andrea's never be invited back to record another episode of Random Chatter again, ever. Wow.
We're not talking about Infinity War. She didn't trigger me. Making our
hosts cry.
Triggered.
Okay, guys, well, that does bring us to the end of the episode then. If you have any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you guys. The best way to get a hold of all the hosts is to send an email to randomchatter@randomchatter.com.
You can also find this online at Random Chatter on Twitter. No, that's backwards. On Twitter at Random Chatter. You can find us individually also on Twitter. Andrea, where are you on the Twittersville?
You can find me at Katz Bears. That's KatzBearz.
So Canadian, you little love bug. Lou, where are you?
Mine's easy. It's just my name. It's LouSecki.
Our missing Tim is at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. And you can send him lots of get well tweets. I'm at Nerd in the City. And then you can also find us on Instagram at Random Chatter. My Instagram is the same as my Twitter, at Nerd in the City. I love Insta stories. Nice. So come watch them because I love doing Insta stories. It's my favorite.
And you can also find all our shows at randomchatter.com. There are so many shows right now that you can tune in and listen to. I highly recommend a lot of them. And be sure to spread the word. Leave reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere that you can, just to show us the love and appreciation that you guys have for what you are listening to. And tell your friends about us, because I know that if you're listening, you're enjoying it, and it would be awesome for you guys to spread the word.
We'd also like to have you help us out by donating at Patreon if you're so inclined. If you go to randomchatter.com/Patreon, you can see all the different levels we have in there. Probably the most popular one is our $1 a month level that gets you into our Discord channel, which is where you can interact with all the hosts and a lot of other fans on topics ranging from Star Wars to photography to collecting, just daily life, sports. We have a new health and fitness channel in there. We're doing a step challenge for some people in there. So it's getting us off our chairs and out walking around in the real world. That's a lot of fun. If you're unsure and want to try that out, you can certainly go to our lobby Discord, which is free. You can go to randomchatter.com/Discord to get into the public lobby and kind of see what it's all about. We interact in the lobby as well as in all the pay channels. So we'd love it if you help us out with limited donations there. It does help us pay for the cost of the network. Keeps the lights on around here.
And the music you hear on Random Chatter is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly.
With that, I think we're at the end of the show. I appreciate everybody's time. Andrea, thank you for joining us again and filling in for Tim. It was great having you. And Lizzie, of course, great to have you back.
Yay, I'm never leaving again.
Awesome. Okay, guys, take care. We'll come back at you in about a week.